Hey, good morning. We are so glad that you joined us for our online worship gathering. My name is Tim, the lead pastor here at New Hope, and we are in a series called Better Together. We're talking about what it means to be in community for our community, and we're excited because a part of that is us getting back together as a church community here next week on the 31st of May. And so we're excited about that, and we'll talk more about that here at the end of the gathering, So we're talking about what it means to be better together. Let me give you a quick review of the things that we've been talking about. Number one, we try to encourage you every single week to understand that God is at work, right? Like in the midst of difficult season, in the mix of this pandemic, we see that God is doing things. His purposes will always prevail. And so we're grateful that through New Hope and through small groups and through these kind of online gatherings, people are staying connected, people are growing deeper, and we're seeing God do great things even in the midst of this pandemic. Now, last week we talked about the heartbeat that we see for the church, right? We want to keep coming back to the foundational understanding of what the church is as we're talking about being better together. And that comes from a statement that Jesus made, and actually 1 Peter made about Jesus in Matthew 16, right? Jesus was asking his disciples, who do they say I am and who do you say I am, right? And so they were answering like, these people say this, these people say that. And then Peter finally said, you are the Messiah, the Son of God. And then Jesus made this proclamation, says on that statement, on that rock, that Jesus is the Savior, he says, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. See, Jesus right now is still building his church. It hasn't stopped since the day he walked this planet. He started building his church, and we are still part of it over 2,000 years ago. His gathering of Christ followers together to grow. And so last week I talked about when you have the Spirit of God and the Word of God and the people of God, you get the church. You get the people is the church, right? It's not a building. And yet when we gather together, there's something that happens in God's presence when we're all together growing and teaching and learning. And we talked a little bit about what Jesus' dream is for us and that Jesus always desires unity, right? That's a part of God's dream for his church is that, well, Jesus' prayer was that they would be one, that we would be one, just as Jesus and the Heavenly Father are one. And so that's our prayer during this season, that as a church, no matter where we are, no matter what we think about the pandemic or COVID-19 or this or that or whatever, we would have a spirit of love and unity for one another in this season. And that's our prayer because we don't want to walk into Satan's desire, which is continual division. I mean, that's his big game. That was his game in the Garden of Eden, to try to create division between Adam and Eve and God. And it happened. And from there on out, that's been his game, create division and disunity. And so we don't want to walk into that in different areas of our life, in our family, and with maybe parents with kids or relationship with other people. We want to continue to have unity, God's desire, in all things. Now, last week, if you missed the message, you can always go back and watch the message on our website, or you can stream it back again on Facebook or YouTube. And I talked about last week where we believe God uses, let me phrase it this way. I talked about the ecosystem that God uses most to help people grow, right? We talked about spiritual soil and seed and the right environment, the right ecosystem for spiritual growth. And we said this last week, that we believe that God's ecosystem for growth is relationships. I mean, we're wired for it. We're wired to be with other people. And that's a part of the church body. That's why all through the New Testament, he calls it a church body. We're one body, many parts coming together. That ecosystem of togetherness is where we experience the most spiritual growth. When we're in circles with one another, face to face with people who love us, who can encourage us, and help us understand how to grow and what it looks like to grow. That's why we become a disciple, right? A disciple that we're surrendered to God, changed by the Holy Spirit, and continuing to live and look like Jesus all the time. And so a part of us as a church, we've continued on this ecosystem of relationships online, right? Those of you joining us right now, those of you joined small groups online or classes online through Zoom meetings and those kind of things, and student ministries, Zoom meetings, all that kind of stuff. We're grateful that you've continued this. Now, for those of you who haven't taken that step, and maybe you started joining New Hope in the midst of this pandemic and you've never even been to our building, we want to invite you. You're welcome to join us and learn more about this ecosystem of growth, these relationships that are healthy and good. Now, as we get into this morning's message, I'm going to be talking about the promised land, all right? We'll get there in just a minute, all right, in Scripture. And if you want to find the book of Numbers, chapter 13 in your Bibles, you can start doing that now. So Numbers, chapter 13 in the Old Testament, kind of near the beginning of your Bible. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. But I wonder how many of you are very, very patient when you have to wait for something. How many patient people we got out there, right? Or how many of you are very impatient when you have to wait for something? I don't know if you have somebody in your family who is always the one that's running late, right? Like everybody else in the family is waiting on that person because, come on, we got to go. We're running late. Like, it gets frustrating when you have to wait on somebody like that. Or maybe if you've ever been really, really hungry, like eat your hand kind of hungry, and you go to a restaurant, and we're looking forward to going to restaurants again, and the food takes forever to get to your plate or to your table. It's like you start going crazy. You're like, I'm going to eat my napkin, something, you know? If you've ever experienced that kind of waiting, it can be so frustrating. But other times, there's good things to wait for, right? Maybe it's waiting for a trip that you were preparing for and getting ready for and then getting excited about and thinking about what all you're going to do, or a family vacation or something like that. And I know some people are like, man, that stinks. My family vacation isn't happening, or this isn't happening, or we can't do the things we want to. Or maybe waiting for a family get together. Some people really anticipate those moments where it's like we're all going to be together, or like a birthday party or something like that. Or you think about an engaged couple that's waiting for their wedding day, right? There's all this anticipation, all this excitement, all these nerves that kind of bubble up inside, and it's like, I can't wait to get there. So there's good things we get excited to wait for in anticipation. There's things that frustrate us when we're like, come on, I've been waiting forever, you know, kind of a thing. I know for Nikki and I, there was one time where we had to wait for something that was, it was so frustrating. We were in our early 20s, and at that point, I was leading a college young adult ministry, and we had taken a trip over to Germany, and we were flying back from, I think it was from Germany to Denmark to Detroit and then to Cleveland. And so it was like ding, 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 ding. And the flight back, it was like an eight or nine hour flight that we were on. And so by the end of an 8 or 9 hour flight, you're just like zonked. You're just tired. You want to get out of there. You're just tired of being around the people you've been around. And the thing is, when we flew, finally, we're getting to Detroit. We're jet lagged, so we're just, none of us has slept well. We're exhausted. And then they say there's a storm, and we can't land. We're going to have to circle around Detroit. And we circled in the air. I don't know if it was for an hour or 2 hours. So we were in that plane a lot longer than we anticipated, and it was so frustrating. But it didn't end there. We finally landed, and we're like, woo-hoo! And then, I don't know if you've had those moments where you just can't wait, if those of you who have flown, to get off the plane, and it feels like it takes forever for them to get that the jet wave up to the side of the plane and for the door to finally open. It's like everybody just gets all compact together to get out of there. Well, that took way longer than possible. We're like, what is going on? And just getting frustrated. And then we finally get into the airport to see the waiting rooms are completely packed with people. I mean, it was nuts because everybody had these cancellations because of the weather. We had missed our flight back to Cleveland. And so we had to wait another 3 hours in this cramped waiting room with all these other grumpy people. It was so frustrating. See, that kind of waiting just drives you nuts. Now, there was one silver lining, okay? Because during that trip, while we were waiting in that stuffed up place in Detroit airport, all of a sudden, out of one of the airplanes that just landed, we saw the Fonz. You know, Henry Winkler? Some of you are like, I don't know who that is. Some of you are like, yeah, Henry Winkler. He came and he walked literally arm's length away from me and walked right in front of me. I'm like, that was the Fonz. And then one guy from our group was like, that had to have been him. And he had the guts. His name's Russ Yoder. He was hilarious and awesome. He went and chased them down and asked him, hey, you look a lot like Henry Winkler. And the gentleman said, oh, I get that a lot. You know, I'm not him. And then he walked on his way and he came back and he said, that had to have been him. It sounded just like him. And so at least we got like this cool memory at the end of like crazy that, I was an arm's length away from the Fonz, you know, for him, Henry Winkler. But waiting, right? Sometimes waiting can be frustrating and just, sometimes waiting can actually produce a good thing in our life. When we think about this season, so many of us are waiting for things to come back, right? And I hear people talk about, I just want things to go back to normal. And I don't know how many times I've heard somebody say, well, I wonder what the new normal is going to be. And then somebody else says, if I hear that one more time, I'm going to punch somebody in the face, right? Like they just don't want to hear the new normal. But the thing is, it's not going to be the same, right? There will be things that we have to respond to, but there's things that we wait for. We're waiting for things, you know, to open up and to get back to normal. And here in Ohio, some of those things are starting to happen, you know, or we're starting to open up restaurants and different things so that businesses are starting to open. And so we're getting kind of back to some normal. But I wonder, in this season, when we think about waiting, how much complaining have you done? Have I done, right? Because at the end of that, I wonder if you would say this, I will never complain about blank again. Like because of this season we've had to be in, I will never complain about teachers again, right? Because those parents in the house, you know, those of you who are like, I've had to figure all this stuff out and help my kids learn in a way that I didn't learn when I was growing up. Like, I'm guessing we will never take teachers for granted. We're grateful. We're even more grateful now for what they do to train and teach our kids, right? So I'm never going to complain about that again, or I'm never going to complain about haircuts because I want one bad, right? or complain about going to the barbers, or complain about waiters and restaurants, or, you know, I will never complain about church again, right? Like once you finally get to come back and be in an auditorium space and worshiping together, maybe you're like, I'm going to make sure I'm there, right? Like I'm wondering for you, what will you never complain about again? What will you never take for granted after we move out of this season? Now, I know human nature, we're going to complain again. That's just the way we are. That's the way people are. But I don't want us to waste a difficult season with just complaining. Don't waste seasons like this. Don't waste the difficult seasons. It is a perfect time to learn and grow, right? See, growth, true growth, no matter what kind of growth in our life, true growth doesn't happen without adversity. Meaning when there's resistance in our life, when there's something that doesn't go our way, or when we go through something hard, that can do something to produce something good or bad in our life, and it's our choice, right? We can choose to let it produce something that helps us grow, to help us see things in a different way, to see God in a new way. Whenever we go through adversity, It can, if we let it, build resiliency in us, help us to be more creative in our life and have problem-solving skills that we didn't have before because of what we've gone through. So I'm wondering during this season, what are you learning in the waiting, or are you just complaining? Do you hear me? What are you learning in the waiting, or are you just complaining? Because we have a choice in our attitude. We have a choice in our response, in the way we think, in the way we speak. And today, I want to talk about a filter that we can put into place to help us think and respond in a good way, in a positive way, even as things move forward, that we can have the right heart and have the right attitude. Now, as we're talking about waiting, it's really unfortunate we look in the book of Numbers, we're going to be talking about the Israelites. And this is after the Exodus. They left Egypt and you know, God sent Moses. Moses helped them into freedom, and they were wandering in the desert. And God gave them this promised land, this land that was beautiful and perfect. And they say it was flowing with milk and honey, and all sorts of prosperity was in that land. And God said, I'm setting that land up for you, and I want you to own it, for it to be your land. And so he was preparing it for them. They finally get to where they are near that land, and they want to take the next steps to get into that land that God has given them. And so they choose to send 12 spies, one spy from each of the 12 tribes of Judah, of Israel, to go see what's going on in that land so that they can come back, give a report, and they can prepare for getting into the promised land. And that's where we're jumping into the story in the book of Numbers, because they were waiting, right? They lived in this land of slavery. Now they're thinking they're going to have freedom in the promised land. And they've had all sorts of experiences in God's presence in that, but they were still complaining and grumbling in the desert. Like, Moses, why'd you bring us out here to die? We don't have food. We don't have water. We don't have this. And I feel bad for Moses. I mean, it seems like he had to deal with so much whining and complaining. I don't know if you've ever been on a long trip with your kids in the car. There's some complaining that happens, right? So that's what's going on. And then they send out these 12 spies. Now, that's where we're jumping into the story in the book of Numbers, okay? In Numbers chapter 13, verses 26 through 33 is what we're going to read this morning. And this is where we're jumping in, okay? So this is what it says. It says, they sent out those 12 spies, and then they were scouting the land, and then they came back to give a report, okay? So verse 26 says, they came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh, the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. So they're like, this is the good stuff. And they brought back the good produce of the land. Like, this is what's here. It's delicious. You know, like, this is an amazing place. And he says, but, and this is where things go south with the report, but the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. Now, if you don't know who that is, those were the giants in the land. They literally were giants, like 8-foot-tall giants in the land. The Amalekites live in Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses, and he said this. Listen to him. He's like, ah. He said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. Talk about faith, right? He's like, let's go for it. I know they're saying he's got giants and this is where everybody's at. We're going for it, right? He's like, let's do this. So Caleb just comes out and just says, we should move forward. But the men who had gone with him said, we can't attack those people. They're stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. So, hold up a minute. So Caleb comes and says, this is a land, good fruit, good milk, good honey, everything we want. There's seaside resort, you know, and there's Jordan side resorts. And he's like, this is a great land. Let's go take it. And then this other group that went and saw the exact same thing said, no, 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 no. The giants are too big. We look like grasshoppers. These cities are fortified. They've got giant walls, and they start spreading that rumor amongst all the Israelites, trying to say, we can't do this, we can't do this, sending out negativity to the entire Israelite community. All the people we saw there, they said, were of great size. We saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak, who came from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. So they're speaking fear. They're in the community, and they're saying, there's giants, it's horrible, it's bad, we'll get defeated, we'll get eaten up and crushed. Like, we shouldn't do this. Like, we shouldn't go, right? And so they kept saying this to the whole community over and over again, while Caleb and Joshua have a different point of view and have a different perspective. And they keep trying to say, no, 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 God gave us this land. We should go take it. God is with us, right? They just saw God do all these crazy miracles and brought them out of Egypt and out of slavery and in the desert, wandering to this place where they're on the edge of the promised land. And yet, some said, we can't do it. But two said, yeah, we can. We've got God on our side. God is with us. We have faith that God will do something. See, it's really interesting because the 12 spies all saw the exact same things, right? They experienced the same places, the same food, the same cities, the same environments. They all saw the same thing, but they have different perspectives. Now, we are in a season together in this pandemic where it's the exact same thing, right? We are all hearing news. We're all hearing updates. We're all hearing governor's updates of what's going on in our states, and we're all hearing news reports on the local news and the national news, and we're all seeing Facebook feed slides and comments from other people and documentaries of conspiracy theories, and we're all seeing all this different stuff. And we're all coming up to different conclusions. Even in the church, right? Even fellow Christ followers, we're all coming up with our different point of views. Now, this can be dangerous. This can be a tool of the enemy to bring disunity. And that's exactly what happened to the Israelites in this scene. It created disunity, and it created consequences. Unfortunately for them, it created heavy, heavy consequences that they didn't realize God was going to be bringing down on them. See, when we think about our promised land isn't an actual land, right? Right now, I'm thinking personally. So I'm using this just as an illustration, right? Is that our personal promised lands are those things we hope we can do again, right? Our personal promised lands are those things that we want to get back to, whatever normal was for us, whether that was sending our kids to school, right? Or whether that's going out to eat with friends, or whether it's gathering together in a church worship service, or whatever that normal is, that's what our promised land is, right? That's what we're waiting for and longing for to get there. And that normal has become our promised land. Now, for each of us, that's a little different. Each of us, we have a different perspective. But my heart here is that we cannot allow disunity to disrupt what God wants to do in unity with his people. Okay? Do you hear me? We cannot let those things disrupt in disunity the things that God wants to use to bring unity in his church. And it comes down to each one of us. Each one of us have a choice to respond. See, in this scene and scenario, as they were moving into the promised land, waiting for that time, we see that that Joshua and Caleb came up and said, no, we need to take the land. They responded in faith. God had already said, hey, I am with you, and I will be with you moving into the promised land. He's going to go before them, and he is with them, right? And so Joshua and Caleb are like, God's with us. We're moving forward. We should take this land. He has given it to us. It's already ours. And they responded in faith. Now then, the other of the spies responded in fear, right? They were afraid of what they saw. They enjoyed the fruit and all that stuff, but they were afraid of the giants and the cities that were fortified. And that's the rumor and the message that got spread everywhere. I think that's a part of what's going on right now. Like, that's a part of the message, is the message of fear. Be afraid. You can't see this. It's out there somewhere. It's going to get you. And that produces something in us. Man, that's just not healthy. It's just not healthy. See, their fear in Israel, with the Israelites, their fear led to consequences. If you keep reading and get into the next chapter, God responds in Numbers chapter 14, 33 through 35, because they decide to not go. They decide to wait and not just take themselves into the promised land. And God was so furious. He was angry with them. He was so angry with them. He said, I tell you what, this whole generation, this generation that doesn't trust me and doesn't have faith in me, none of them are going to see the promised land. He said, I'm going to wait till all this generation dies. Their kids and those younger and those born in the next 40 years will be the ones that go into the promised land. And so what should have been about a month journey into the promised land turned into a 40-day journey because of their choice in fear, right? Fear led them to their unfaithfulness in their God. Their complaints led them to painful consequences. And what should have been a month-long journey now becomes a 40-year wandering. Now, if I make this personal and take it out of the pandemic, I know for some of you, your life has felt like a 40-year wandering. That there have been some choices you made in life that you're like, dang, I wish I could take that one back. and they've had to experience the consequences of those choices for a long time. I want you to hear this word. In the New Testament, we see that Jesus changes the script with grace. Meaning he can take our poor choices, and if we choose to walk into healthy things and forgiveness and in his grace, he can undo those consequences in our life. He can heal us and free us. And so I don't want anybody to think that if you've done something stupid, if you've shown unfaithfulness to God, that once you become faithful to God and you're walking his direction, that he's going to ignore you. He's not going to ignore you. Anytime you run to God, he runs to you. That's the freedom we have because of the cross of Jesus Christ, the grace and the access we have to our Heavenly Father. And so for you, if you've made choices that you're like, yep, lifelong consequences, start running to God with it. And start getting into community with other people and let them know about it. And that's hard. That's vulnerability. But I'm telling you, in that ecosystem of vulnerability and community, that's when those things start to break hold, right? The strongholds start to loosen their grips on your heart and your life. And you can start walking into freedom in those things, okay? So if that's you, I just wanted to say that word to you. And that's like a side note and a side sermon. But let God walk into that with you, okay? Let's get back to the message today. Because the message today is that we don't want to live in the consequences of unfaithfulness. I mean, we don't want people to be wandering in the desert for years and years and years when they could have chose faithfulness and going towards God. So we want to put in the right thinking, okay? So today I'm giving you a tool, okay? And you can write this down as we get through this, because I'm going to be talking about a filter, okay? I'll get to that in a second. I'm going to be talking about a filter for our thinking. See, we all need a filter to think through. I think about a filter like our furnace filter at home. You know, we've got some allergies in our house. And I don't know, right now is allergy season, and I'm definitely, I get more stuffed up during the spring and all that kind of stuff. And for us, the change of every season, we change our furnace filter. So four times a year, you know, once a quarter, we change our furnace filter. And the reason you have a filter in your furnace is if you didn't, you'd just be circulating all this dust and all this grime and all this stuff. It'd just be floating through your house over and over and over again and just recycling in the air, right? And every time I take out the old furnace filter, it's like a dang. Because it goes in white and clean, right? It goes in like the way it should and brand new. And when I pull that sucker out, it is covered in dust and it's brown. And it's like, that is not the same filter. But because it's done its job. Right? It's filtered out all the impurities in the air. It's filtered out all the dust and the pollens and all that stuff got collected on that filter. So then what came through the other side is clean, fresh air, right? Now for us in our thinking, the way we think, we need to have a filter engaged as we move into this new season together as a church family. We need to be thinking rightly. And there will be thoughts that come in that need a filter so that if it's a bad thought, if it's a thought that's like, nope, that's wrong, it hits that filter, it gets collected, and then it's gone, right? It doesn't come out in my actions or attitudes. And so here's a filter I want us to think through this morning, all right? What filter are you using during the season of waiting and then moving into a season of some promised land stuff, right? What filter are you using? Here are the four things I want to talk about that I believe are a good filter. Wisdom, faith, love, or the last one's the negative, fear. What filter are you using as you think through things right now? Are you using a filter of wisdom, a filter of faith, a filter of love, or a filter of fear? You know, the Israelites, that became their filter, right? And it led to consequences. Let me describe these a little bit deeper, okay? If we use the filter of wisdom, this is what wisdom is. We want wisdom from God and life experience. Meaning the filter of wisdom is, I've gone through things in my life that have made me wiser, right? Like, I'm not going to do that again because now I'm wise, you know? I have new knowledge. Or from God, if you don't have wisdom about something, God says, ask him for it and he will gladly give it. That he will open up wisdom to you and understanding. And so we need to be asking ourselves, is my thinking full of wisdom from God and my life experience? Whatever that thing is that's coming in, or whatever that thing I'm processing and thinking about, am I using the filter of wisdom? God's wisdom
which is also his word, understanding scripture and truth, and my own life experience. Am I going to repeat something dumb I did in the past or not, right? Wisdom, the filter of faith. Am I using the filter of faith that in God's presence and his promises? Meaning, is what I'm thinking connected to God's presence? Meaning, does it seem like I believe God is actually here? Or is my response right now believing that he's probably not, right? Faith is, I believe that he is here. He is with us and with me. Faith in his promises, meaning I know God's word and his promises for me. And so I'm going to filter through put that through the filter of faith, understanding when God promises something, he will always come through, right? No matter what. This is what Joshua and Caleb, like, they had the filter of faith on. Like, we know God's presence is with us and he's promised us this land. Let's go take it, right? That's the filter by which they were viewing the promised land that they were going to. Wisdom, faith, and filtering through love. Are you thinking through love? See, love is the motivation for our words and our actions towards others. When I'm thinking about how others are responding or what others are doing in this season, and even if I agree or disagree, am I filtering it through love? Is love the motivation of my heart and my actions and my attitude towards other people? Right? I love the phrase, and I repeat it all the time here. Whenever we're in situations, asking ourselves, what does love demand of me in this, becomes a great mental filter, right, in relationships. Because usually it's not our flesh responding. Now we're letting Jesus and the Holy Spirit respond through us to show love and grace to the other people around us. Or the last filter, which is the bad one, because this is what the filter of fear does. Fear that leads to self-protection and pushes out wisdom, faith, and love. That's what fear does. Fear leads, and you can see it with the Israelites, they were all afraid, and so it led to what? Self-protection. We can't do it, we're not going, we're protecting ourselves because we don't want to be squashed like grasshoppers, and we don't want to be, you know, be shot at outside of fortified cities. Like, no, we're not doing it. And so that fear pushed them away from wisdom, right? And it pushed away from faith. They weren't jumping into what God promised and God's presence with them, and it pushed out love, because actually what ended up happening is the consequences, which were difficult, that was not a loving choice to them and to the generation after them, right? To have to wait. So fear is not a good filter. So often Jesus says, and we've repeated it through this whole season, do not be afraid. Right? Actually, in so many instances, especially with Joshua, we hear God saying, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous, for I am with you. There's a promise of God's presence, and there is a courage and a bravery attached to that, right? It's faith. It's faith. So what is your filter, right? Let me go back. What is your filter during this season as we are looking towards our personal promised lands, you know, whatever that new is that you get to go back to, those normal things, the things that you want to experience in community and relationship and out there in the world that we live in? Are you using wisdom, faith, love, or is fear the thing that you're using? Okay. So keep thinking about that. I want to talk about us as a church, though. For us as a church, we're trying to use that same filter, wisdom, meaning for us, we are going to start gathering together in person, and we want to do it in a wise way, right? And that's why we're creating different venues in our physical building, that we're going to have our auditorium, which I'm preaching in right now, and it's going to be chairs kind of spread out for some distancing, and we're also going to offer our student center as a venue. And in that student center, it's going to be a touch-free service. So everybody's going to wear a mask who enters into that venue, and you're going to be spread out, and you'll be able to come, sit, and leave, but still feel connected, right? So we're trying to be wise on how we do that and help you, whatever level you're comfortable at, as we move into this normal, that you feel comfortable engaging in. For some of you, you're like, actually for a majority of you, about 50% of the people that respond to our survey, like, I just want to go back to normal. I just want to jump in. And then a certain percentage said, I would like some social distancing, but I can't wait to get together. And there, it was a small percentage that said, I want to get together. There's some fear in me, or I just don't think it's wise. And that's okay. Okay. And some of you said, I'm going to keep joining online. And the good news is all of those are still going to be happening. We're trying to use wisdom and showing you love, showing our church body love as we try to shepherd in this new season as a church. We're going to be transitioning our small groups from being online to being in homes. And so we're leaving that up to each of the small group leaders, how they want to do that. But we're still going to offer our online small group for those that still want to engage online. So that's still going to be happening. So it's a both and is the way we're operating as a church. And those of you who join us like this on Facebook or on YouTube, we're going to continue doing this online every single week, just the same way you've been experiencing it through this season. And so for us, we believe that wisdom, faith, love are pointing us to do all the above. Because we want to help people grow no matter where they are. And we want to help remove any barrier for those who want and need to hear about the love of Jesus. So we're opening all those opportunities. So you're going to be hearing about that. We'd encourage you to register online to let us know you're coming. We're going to leave a certain percentage of seats just open for people who don't register. But it helps us if you register to let us know so that we make sure we have the space that we need for for our online gatherings. But let's keep a spirit of unity. Let's let God use this as a time to do what he wants to in his church, because he is still, Jesus said, building his church. We just get to respond to what's going on as we do it and how as he is doing it. So over the next weeks, over the next months, let's come to use wisdom, faith, and love as the filter. Let's not let fear lead us down paths that lead to consequences that walk us further away from God, okay? Let's walk into wisdom, love, and faith in this season. Would you guys pray with me? God, I'm grateful for this word this morning, I'm grateful as I even look into through the Old Testament and these stories and the history of your people. It always brings encouragement to me that you're real, you're present, and that you're with us. And those words of your word never returns void. It always accomplishes what it wants to in our hearts and our lives. And I pray that this morning, as we've listened to this word, that you are speaking, Holy Spirit, that you're speaking to each of us, and that we're being convicted of some things that maybe we need to change and grow in, that we're being encouraged in things to keep walking in the healthy things we are. And whatever that is, God, we'd be open for you to speak in this time. Now, I just want to take a moment of challenge, just a quick one, okay? Don't squander this difficult season. Meaning, don't let it just go away and be like, whew, glad that's over. Learn from it. Gain wisdom. Okay? Let God grow you in this season. And don't, for those of you who've been wandering, don't wander spiritually. Connect in relationship. Okay? Find a way to connect personally at whatever level you're comfortable with us as a church family. We would love for you to connect with us. That's why we have online small groups. Just mynewhope.tv/groups, and you'll see it there, and you can sign up and start plugging in. Or as our groups start meeting in person, and we start meeting in person, we can plug you in to that smaller church family in those small groups so you can find these good things that we're talking about in this season. And some of you, you need a relationship with Jesus, and you can start one today. It starts with a prayer and a confession. Best with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God and he's rose from the grave, that he's alive, and you can accept him in your life and be saved. So I'm going to pray. If you want to pray, I always offer this opportunity for anyone to take a step of faith and start a relationship with Jesus, that your wandering can stop and God's peace can enter in, okay? And you can have a real relationship with God. So If you want that, you can pray with me right now. I'm just going to pray and you can repeat and you can pray this to God if you want to. You can just proclaim. You say, God, please forgive me of my sins. I don't want to wander away from you. I want to have a relationship with you. And so I confess that Jesus is your son, that he died on the cross for my sins, and that he rose again and is alive today. And I want him in my life. I confess he is my Lord and my Savior. So give me your peace. Give me your spirit. Fill me with your presence. I want to be your son. I want to be your daughter now and forever. And I just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, and if you make any decision today, we would love to know about it. And whether that's right now, you just said, I'm starting a relationship, or maybe for you, it's I've been wandering and I'm coming back to him. We want to know about that. So please take a minute, all of you who are watching with us, and fill out the online connect card and let us know of any decision, or let us know that you joined us this morning, because we find encouragement to know who we're shepherding and who's connected. So thank you again for joining us this morning, and we'll see you again next week.